All right, mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2, what it do? What's happening? It's your boy Mako with the fucking Draco, on the God, Toby, what Kenobi, and Rodney Twin Tweezy coming at you. Another week in the motherfucking books, man. How y'all doing? How y'all boys doing today, man?
Episode 33, man.
Episode 33. Yeah, we in there, man. Gang. Every episode after 30, I mean, they all feel like victories, but they really feel like more and more victories.
Gang gang,
we really got in the swing of things, man.
Gang. Yeah,
shit,
man.
Not no op shit.
None at all. All right, man. You know, pretty great week. Summer's not here yet. It's weird because it's cold as fuck outside right now, even though it's Maytime here in Atlanta. But it's starting to feel
mid-May too.
Yeah, literally.
If it's cold around my birthday, man, it's gonna be a problem. It's actually gonna be the first problem. What?
Starting to feel a lot like summer. The music just dropping, man.
And I am not feeling like Floyd in this May weather.
No.
There it is.
That's a good one.
Yeah, exactly. I'm about to say, that was the first one I was going to hit, because last week, Isaiah Rashad, my prediction was TDE was gonna drop an Isaiah Rashad single and some Isaiah Rashad merch.
I was half right.
Because I figured earlier this year, like I said, they said that he was gonna drop. He was not that he was the next person up, but he tweeted like, "Yeah, my project's finally done, so it's not up to me. I'm just waiting for the sample to clear." So I'm assuming that the sample's cleared. For some reason, people were I don't know why people assumed that he was gonna straight up drop an album on Friday. Like, they don't know how TDE kind of operates and stuff. And I saw some people that were kind of understand why they were mad, but some people were kind of mad because they were really expecting the project, because they were like, it's been 5 years and y'all just dropping a single and giving us it. But I'm still
that's how you do it.
Yeah.
That's how you promote. Yeah.
Yes.
Stop fucking complaining.
The only thing about it was I was expecting the album to come out
Sooner.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to come out at the end of May.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't really get a date.
It'll probably be early June.
Mm-hmm. But I thought like it would be like the end of May. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't expect it to come like this week. So, mm-hmm. Like I knew they weren't going to do that. Mm-hmm. Like Kendrick did do that the last time with Damn, but TDE still does album rollouts
mm-hmm.
with everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Not really, ironically, I mean, a lot of times it's just Twitter niggas, but because I've had some other conversations with niggas that basically echo the same sentiment. But I was like, I mean, I don't know. A, it's not like you're not gonna listen to the album when it does drop. You're gonna do the exact same thing. And B, it does build up anticipation because there are people that have not heard of this man that are probably gonna get an ear for him now, especially because it's been 5 years as long as it's been, or it's really been like 4.5 years. It hasn't been a whole five, but all right. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to see what other sounds that he drops. Young Nudie drops this Friday. J. Cole drops this Friday. He also dropped a single. I wasn't too hype about it.
J. Cole?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yikes, till you heard Interlude?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
I wasn't really too hype about it.
Really? I liked it. I liked it.
Interlude was
fine. I love the sample. I actually liked it a lot.
Yeah.
There were some very slick bars too. I like, the wordplay.
I liked his flow, definitely. It seemed...
Does it sound redundant? Does it sound like it's old Cole, or does it sound like a newer...
I think it's a nice balance. I think it's a good balance of Cole not trying to... I don't like the... I listened to it again today, and I didn't really notice it, but early on, I did not like the auto-tune in the beginning of the song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't like it either.
It grows on me as the song goes on with the beat, but initially, I didn't like the auto-tune. But overall, I thought it was a good... I thought Cole did a good job of...
Stop.
of blending sounds without kind of making it forced.
Mm-hmm.
Or doing something that he's not... It reminded me of Middle Child. I really liked Middle Child.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was also a good balance of like Cole doing these things. Because when he went on his feature run, 90% of the features were not misses. But I did not like the Moneybagg Yo one. But I don't really listen to Moneybagg Yo.
Moneybagg Yo pretty straight, actually.
I don't really listen to it, but that just did not sound like something that Cole. I would want to hear Cole on.
Mm-hmm.
That one just didn't work for me. And I think he did one with Offset that I also was like, this is not it.
It was on Father of Four or something like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was like, this also.
What about the one with Nudie? I remember y'all remember the one with Nudie.
Wait, you talking about Nudie? He no, does have a song with Nudie. Nudie has a song with J. Cole.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah,
Nudie's on Sunset on Revenge of the Dreamers 3. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's tell us song.
It's a rather he's simplistic
on
two. Song.
No, he's on Down Bad and Sunset, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forgot about Down Bad.
I think Sunset.
Tell us song.
No, it's Down Bad that I flipped with.
Yeah, no, speaking of Nudie, Nudie's supposed to drop this Friday. He dropped a single yesterday with Polo G. Not Polo G, G Herbo. It's a good one.
Yeah, I agree with your sentiment, Toby, about just the whole overall production of that song. Mm-hmm. I do like J. Cole in this type of instrumentation. Yeah. I feel like he tried to stray away from it, or he didn't really do this type of instrumentation in his... his last project, KOD. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Actually, the instrumentation was a little bit better, but it wasn't like this one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the previous project before that one, do you remember?
For Your Eyes Only?
Yeah. I think this song is like a kind of a step or like a...
step in the right direction from there. I like 2014 Forest Hills Drive and For Your Eyes Only. For Your Eyes Only? Yeah, thank you. I like the production on those, and I like a couple of the songs, and overall, you know, they're pretty decent. They just leave me wanting more from the project itself. Not like the artist dropped. I'm not like I'm cool on this and I want to hear more, but it's like, seems like there was something missing.
Yeah.
And Interlude also, like, I was like, okay, this is most definitely like an interlude.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 2 minutes. It's titled Interlude, and it reminded me of Born Sinner interludes, because those interludes were absolute fire.
Yeah.
So, and I was like, I really like this, and actually, I am just really enjoying his promo run right now. I think he's doing a really good job.
Just the fact that this man is about to be in the NBA African League.
He went on LA Leakers, dropped a freestyle.
Yeah. 93 to Infinity was freaking clean.
Yeah, that 93 to Infinity freestyle.
That, I like that one more than the Still Tipping one.
Yes, me too.
Because the other one kind of has more of a mumble.
No, the other one just...
He just flows.
I thought his... He rapped over Still Tipping before on the warm-up. So it was like...
my comfortability.
This one was... well, that, but it was also like this one, he didn't use the same flow.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like his flow on that one seemed like that wasn't the beat he was expecting them to play. But he kind of already had a verse.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of still...
that's what I was saying earlier.
Yeah, like he still just went with that verse, but that really wasn't the beat he was expecting them to play.
Yeah.
But then also, you know, Boss, like, leaking the album coming out and then deleting it. And then Cole saying, oh, yeah, the off season next week. Oh, yeah, I want to drop a single. Oh, yeah, I'm on Slam. Oh, yeah, I'm going to play in the African League. Oh, yeah, I'm doing a radio freestyle for the first time in 8 years.
Bam.
Like, this is a great album. Right? This is a great rollout. Drops.
Yeah.
Like, this is a great rollout. You know, even if it's, like, only for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't do any other radio interviews, because I don't particularly, like, unless you go on, like, Big Boy.
You think, Sway. You think he's going to have features on it?
He better
have features. I think he'll have features.
But did you watch the the documentary also was a great part of the promo.
I want to say I don't think he will.
I think he's going to.
I want to say. So should he?
Yes, he should.
So y'all think he should be done with that solo dose?
J. Cole has not shown.
Well, not necessarily.
Please
done.
Put it in your heads if it does happen to be just him.
Not necessarily done with his solo dolo, but he needs to incorporate having like
just other ideas,
people around him, like more input into the creative process.
The reason I think he's going to have people is because the instrumental for Interlude was produced by Cole, T-Minus, and I forget the other dude's name.
That's good.
But he's still working with T-Minus, which I think they've been really great together. But also the other guy, because I actually went to look up what the sample was, because I just really like the sample, and it's a custom sample. The guy, I can't think of his name, and I should just go on Genius and look it up. But he does custom samples. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, he's opening up his beat production.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, so I feel as if... Also, in the documentary, he talked about his thought process between going to the off-season and the fall-off and stuff like that. And he talked about his thought process in doing all those features he did back in 2018. Mm-hmm. And he legitimately said, like, do you want to look back 20 years? And that was the whole thing about looking back. Do you want to look back 20 years from now and be like, oh, damn, you really didn't work with nobody? Mm-hmm. And, like, it was like on Forest Hills Drive, it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
On For Your Eyes Only, it was like, okay, you're okay. In your bag. I don't really think that he did either of those featureless on purpose. I think he did KOD featureless on purpose to see kind of like how far he can go with it. Mm-hmm. And then probably because he already made it up in his mind that he was going to start accepting doing features.
And then the fact that he also did the Dreamville big collaboration is just, it's kind of a, like, for me, I feel like it's a hint to like, okay, I'm getting more comfortable working with other people. I'm going to be in a position where I'm going to, because personally, I feel like other people can basically bring us up and excel us, and I think he's finally realizing that.
Yeah, because that was my, I think that was my also one of my biggest things. It was like, yeah, I mean, not, I don't feel like J. Cole hasn't, I guess, proven to me that he can do, because I mean, I don't know if any artist can really, really do that as a whole. You know, I feel like most of the best projects that we hear in some way, form, or fashion is an artist collaborating with another artist, but it's their vision. Like, even with, like, To Pimp a Butterfly, we talk about this all the time.
Bro, there's so many credits on, like, if you even just look at, like, the Spotify credits, like, there's names there. But if you look at, like, the ASCAP, like, the actual, like, the actual barcode of this song, like, there's a list of names.
Because you want like composers and shit like that. There's people that like are better at hearing
and like other like musicians.
Find people that specialize like, in the thing that you're looking for and get them to do it.
It's why, ironically, I mean, this is music, but like, I mean, even I think that it goes across multiple mediums though. I mean, even it like does, even like in like movies, it's why Tyler Perry movies are so bad. He doesn't have a writer's room. It's just that nigga writing his movies. So they, a lot of them, most of them are literally like, oh,
unfortunately, it doesn't look like he's. But the thing grown is, like, he writes with at least.
He hasn't grown in an aspect of his art, but he knows the formula and he's sticking to the formula.
Yeah. So yeah, when you're able to collab with multiple people, or get, like I said, get multiple inputs or even like just features on certain things or songs, how you were saying last time, it was like with the Kill Edward shit, I understand what you're trying to do, but at the same time, you can get somebody who can sing, my nigga. Just like,
I will give you credit from between these album runs, your holding a tune has gotten better, but still, like, you don't, you're Cole. Like, I'm pretty sure you can call somebody and be like, yo, I need this feature. I think, like, when you say, like, just collaborating with people, even not even from a feature standpoint, I think Tyler the Creator did it best, even better than Kendrick did on To Pimp a Butterfly. On Igor, it was his
he produced all those beats,
everything.
But he
directed everybody else what he wanted to do.
I need you to sound like this. Oh, right. Like, perfect example is when, what is that song? Is on Puppet, Kanye when in Kanye the background. And then there's a part where he's just rambling. And I was literally saying it, like, bro, this is great. Because he's literally not even hardly saying anything, but it's the perfect accent to the song. Yeah.
Because
he's not even in your face with it.
That's Kanye's whole thing. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not necessarily something that Tyler has been great at, but Kanye has made a career off of using his voice as an instrument in his music as well. So Tyler was like, oh yeah, I'll go get him and be like, yo, could you do this? Like this, exactly like this, until you get it. And it's like, he got Charlie Wilson to do it. He got Cardi to do it. He got Pharrell to do it. So it's like, bro, if Tyler can work with all these people, that's a trouble. And
proud of us, man.
And get him to
talking that real shit.
Like, I'm pretty sure you can do it, bro. Like, you legitimately tweeted out who wants to come to rap camp, and like a million niggas showed up.
We didn't even get half them fucking songs. I was like waiting. I remember scrolling.
This is why this decade is going to be really just monumental for music, I feel like.
Especially with the way it started.
Yeah, yes.
Because
it
backed people up. And I feel like between, like,
it all started from that Control verse.
It all comes back to Kendrick. But like, I feel like the way it backed people up, and now people are like, I feel like this summer and like the span of shit going on between now and the end of the year, we're gonna get a lot of good music. It's gonna push more people to put out more good music, and it's gonna be like, I don't know, a shift. It's been a minute since I've
definitely
been
motivated
like,
me. I think, for real.
Although even like beyond that, I think since like 2016, a lot of artists have consistently been putting out good music. Since then, and I think like it's just gonna continue to like get better. Also, like how like artists are like taking time, mm-hmm. a little bit more time. Like, mm-hmm. an artist like Young Thug, before So Much Fun, mm-hmm. was like, you know, which was executively produced by Cole.
We saw that happen.
Which was executively produced by Cole, but he took more time in that, and then he got a number one album, right?
But see, that I think I've talked about this before. Right. Just like,
and I never had a problem with Thug releasing so fast, or you know, working on something. Like, if you can write a verse in 10 minutes and it's a hit, you wrote a hit in 10 minutes. Like, that's just what it is. But if you can expand on it by taking the time to make it better, I definitely think you should do that.
And it's just, it's also the people around Thug. Like, he literally picks people to be around him. Like, shout out to his fucking mixing engineer, Alex Tumay. He's just a really insane mixer. And I literally just follow him. I watch or listen to his podcast, This Sounds Better. And he just literally talks about how he goes through these things and emotions, and it's curated Thug to be who he is.
And I was I don't know if I've talked about this on the show. I think I've talked to it. I definitely talked about it too. I feel like you before, but I used to have a roommate when I was in college. His name was Jess, and Jess used to love Future. Remember me and him got into, because this is back when I was really like a rap purist. I don't think I'm the same way anymore. I think I'm more so like, if it sounds good, it sounds good. But I'm also within the same range of thinking like that you are. That it's like, you can't. The argument was this, and I understand why, because Future was in a bullshit contract.
I love it. It sounds good track. Like, I think like the track that I sent you guys in the group chat, the Trippie Red. I really love the instrumental, but their lyrics
are not good.
Like that was the thing. I listened to it. I was at work and I listened to it and I was like, oh man, this is good. And then I got to like the last verse. I was like, no, they're not talking about shit.
But
run it back. I like this.
It has replay value. Like, if you literally looked at like the like when he dropped it, like it literally shot up on both of their like Spotify. Like, literally, the beat is enticing. It's like, You wanna bounce.
When's the last time y'all heard it? Because I heard it, y'all heard it today. I need to rehear it, but I know, when I hear a song, right, I gotta really pay attention to it. And so my first one or two listens was just like, like I told Ron, it's like, this is mid to me. And yeah, I guess the lyrics.
It literally is.
And songs like that, maybe if it was around 2 minutes and 50 seconds, I fuck with it. But ain't it like four or something?
No, it's not that long.
It's in the threes.
But I understand exactly what you're saying, because the thing,
it's
my thing. Yeah,
that song's also like a vibe song, right? So if you're just like trying to just listen to music, it's probably not gonna do it for you. But if you're in a setting where lights are dim, bass is heavy, there's substance, it's better because you're not paying attention to the lyrics.
Which
is why niggas say you can't dance to Kendrick. You're not gonna play Mama in that scene. You might play all of
it.
You might play King Kunta in that scene, but you're not gonna play Mama.
Y'all dancers don't feel that shit. That's fine. Look, my thing was like, my argument, because the time period that we get into the argument, I had to not come out of it, but I remember during the time Future was in that deal where he was like, all right, I gotta put out album, so I can get out of this fucking contract, whatever the fuck ever. But he was like, yeah, the argument was, Jess was saying, nah, nigga. Like, I think I was saying, I was kind of transitioning, but I was still in that rap purist state of where it was like, bruh, what are you saying? If you're not saying anything, I'm not gonna listen to it. Now I'm at a point where it's like, I can, but the ultimate pinnacle of, like, I guess it's the concept of a meal, is like, the beat is fucking fire, and what you're saying is fucking fire, and they meld together, and then that's the fucking thing, and then there are like ranges to that. But he was saying like, no, bro. I was like, bruh, Future should not be putting out music like this, like, as an artist. It's just that concept of, like, not everything that you put out is gonna be fucking good, bro. Like, it's a, like, it, like,
not everything
that you put out is gonna be good. So if you're literally putting out, like, Whatever comes
to you.
Then it's,
man,
like,
I'm glad you noticed that, man.
This is
everybody
like
always be talking about
first
Future
came out.
This is why, like,
at that
same
like,
thing.
Take
so
your
time,
I didn't
bro.
Literally,
like
what
no,
the
good.
I like
literally.
Future, but it was like definitely listening to those as a, I'm picking what.
But
song.
That's the
yes,
thing.
Yes,
that's the thing. So it's literally like, if you put out
15 tracks in an album, especially if you're like an up there artist, at least three or four of them are probably going to be good.
Imagine if Nothing Was the Same Views
came out in the same year.
No, like Nothing Was the Same Views, fucking the Playlist one. And then Scorpion all came out in the all those have it's over not, 20 tracks.
But it's not a matter. It's not a matter of them. See, but I think that kind of goes. We've gotten into this conversation about Drake. That kind of goes back to my point. But it's year after year.
He's doing year after year, but he's doing it's all those tracks all back to back to back that you have to piece through.
But
to he's, try and be like, okay, yeah, no, this is good.
Yeah, but I mean, but still, that concept would be imagine if
that was kind of like you're talking about future, right?
Well. Okay. He just dropped we, I jump from Drake to Future, tracks. But with Future, yeah, this the concept with Future would be yeah. He just you can't drop all these. I don't think that's what he was expecting though. But you can't drop a million songs in a year and then all million songs of those are going to be good. And I was telling Jess, I was like, you just love Future, and I understand that. But a lot of this shit is actually trash. And like the thing is, he's putting out a lot of it, so you're getting the you're able to sift through the stuff a lot more. But it's like imagine a nigga that got on the court, and every time he got past the half court line, he shot a fucking three. But now even if he's good at shooting three, almost dang. But like even if he's really good at shooting threes, he's not gonna hit a lot of those. Now when he does hit the three, that shit is fucking amazing. But when he's not, when they're not hitting the threes, they're not hitting the fucking threes. So I don't know. I think that concept still remains and still persists. What I was saying as far as it related to Drake and what you were talking about, like imagine if he dropped all those projects within a year. He didn't, but he went 1 year and then the next year and then the next year versus when he takes like time. Oh man, they came back and did that shit. Versus when you take time in between, like, because it just gives you time to like.
Well, what if I was saying was just imagine, because Drake's albums have been.
Such but you would have got hella fatigued. Yeah,
that's what I was talking about. You got to go through his five of these albums. All of them got 20 tracks. That's kind of what Future was like. Where I was like, I'm picking.
Yeah,
the one.
It's a lot, man. But now once he like stopped doing that shit as much, just generally. Shit's been hitting. I don't know, but Blue Rack's been touching my soul recently. What am I supposed to do?
I told y'all a couple Rack's weeks blue? Ago, man. Future's a blues artist.
He is. He sounds trouble. He literally sounded trouble. Like, Future's what am I supposed to do? Demon. He does.
That's why I need us to win this game. He's a trouble. But,
he is. He's
I used to be the same way, like a rap purist. In a sense
what
of...
What am I supposed to do?
I'm not... Like, there were, like, artists where it was like, bro, this is not what I want to hear. But it, The way I got out of it was about the artist it was. Because, like, my first favorite artist was Outkast. Like, Three Stacks was, like, my favorite. But, like, after that, it was, like, Lupe. Lupe could rap about toenails and it sound deep as fuck. And so, it was, like, but it was, like, but I was, like, okay, this is what I'm expecting from rappers. Like, this type of level of wordplay and stuff like that. So, like, when I didn't hear that, I was like, bro, this is trash. And it was like, no, this isn't trash. This just ain't Lupe. If it's a Lupe type, then I'm going to expect those type of bars. If it's not, then I have to reprogram my mind to be like, no, like, this is actually fire in its own way.
I think I had a reverse realization. I think what it was not that I... The question that I posed to myself was, why do I have conversations with some people who love rap but don't like Eminem? And I was like, what? Because I'd be like...
I think because people put him on a higher pedestal than he
I don't think it's just that. It's just a matter of... He's not as palpable and as listenable to.
He's correct. He is...
The dude's skill.
I think the way
he... That way he give him his props.
I think, he has skill. He can rap.
His wordplay is
I think it's the fact that he has that same, like... consistency in his style as Future has in his drops. And I think that's why people may not view him as like this, you know, person. Because he definitely has this skill. And I think when I was first like listening to music, I'm a huge music lover. When I was first listening to music, it was like solely based on like the person. Like I love music and I like the rap, but like it was like I connected to the people more. And like I still feel like I do that on some level, but now that I'm more like knowledgeable in music, I'm just literally just a music lover. Like I'll literally listen to anything and try to just catch everything in music. So
yeah, because I think I'm kind of getting to that point now. I'm still kind of selective because I still look for a certain amount of skill. Well, oh, yeah, but that, yeah, what you were saying. Like,
Eminem is easily one of the most skilled niggas to ever fucking rap, bro, regardless of race or anything. But I would go like, why do I talk, like you said, why do I talk to people who seem to really love rap, but they'd be like, why is Eminem in your playlist? Or why is everybody on Twitter bashing Eminem? And then I went like, it took me go, oh, yeah, because like, I don't know, he'd be like spazzing, and like, not everybody want to listen to...
He's consistent in the way that he brings his flow.
Actually, if you know his 2018 through 20 stuff, he actually slowed down and actually tried to run with the beat and show that, yeah, I can actually spit. I can still spit. And people, and you got to listen to him though. By that time,
I think he brought out the, was it Revival or Revival, like?
There was Kamikaze. There was
The one where you had like Shady Love SP. The Way You Lie with Rihanna.
That was so there are Love two. Love the Way You Lie was
that was
Recovery.
Recovery. So there are two different.
So Recovery. I really like Recovery because I feel like he took the time to kind of slow down. I don't know. Also, like, really
he went in like different routes, and Recovery too.
Even
one of my favorite of his later albums.
Yeah. Even within the realm of people that love Eminem, there's the divide.
They go up.
There's Slim Shady from the Marshall Mathers from the Slim Shady LP.
I love Slim Shady.
Up until I think,
but he got sober.
It was from the Slim Shady LP up until like what was like Curtain Call or something like that. And then we got Relapse and we got Encore and then Relapse. He was like, and then after that we got Recovery, and that was like Eminem. That's like from that before was like Eminem. It was literally ripping shit to Smith. That was like that was when the super transition happened the moment he dropped Forever. His verse on Forever. Oh, and I was like, oh, yo, no. And after that, he was like Eminem. But there's a set of people that don't really like that version of him. And I'm like, I don't know. I think you just have to accept it all as a whole. But like I said, I understand now why people are like, oh, well, I don't really listen to this nigga. I've never listened to this nigga. Like, he's not the most popular.
He's low key a representative for the other like rappers that are kind of like him.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, Logic.
Yeah.
Come on now. Logic. If
what is that nigga's
name? Logic has his fame.
What's the name of that black dude that everybody hates? Everybody hates him now, currently. Joyner Lucas. Joyner Lucas is in that category. Yeah.
Some people would say, like, he's just corny to me.
Yeah.
And
Joyner Lucas had this run where he was just kind of like hopping on beats that weren't like. That shouldn't have worked with him. Like, he hopped on Lil Pump's Gucci Gang beat, and that was actually fire. But when listened to Joyner Lucas, I was like, it's not the same.
I get the same feeling.
I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I just characterize him as an activist rapper.
Yeah, I get that.
Because he put that on himself with that video that went viral, right?
Will Smith,
the thing about that is, if you don't hit, when you come back to it, it's like you weren't really saying anything.
Yeah.
Like when I go back to those songs, I'm like, you're not.
Then he tried to start rap beef with Logic.
That much. He did try to try to rap,
but it was granted, he started
the rap beef with Logic because Logic freestyled his verse on their song,
which I understand. That was really ass. Because I'm not gonna hold you. That was the first time I ever heard of Joyner Lucas. Joyner Lucas literally demolished that track. He cooked it to a point where it was like, I remember the first time I listened to it, it felt like whatever I was listening to it off was actually burning me after a certain point. Because the story was, Tech N9ne, the super fast rapping nigga, was like, I gotta get Logic on this track.
Tech N9ne and J. Cole.
You said Tech N9ne and J. Cole?
It was a Tech N9ne line and interlude that I really liked.
Because he
said, the air out rebuttal. Like Tech N9ne, I think, is AR rebuttal. I was like, bro, that's a triple entendre. Tech N9ne is actually shooting out the battle rap for Rest in Peace Tech N9ne with rebuttals, and then Tech N9ne, the super fast rap out of Kansas City. Like that was my favorite bar on the track, and you reminded me of it.
Tech was like, because he always gets the Tech always gets the fast rapping ass niggas.
Run.
Tech always gets the fast rapping ass niggas. So I think he went, and I was saying to myself during the time period that I was listening to these niggas, I was like, dude, Tech N9ne and Logic and Eminem got together. That'd be disgusting. So I heard they were coming out with the name of the song Sriracha. I heard Tech N9ne was coming out with a song with Logic because he was dropping multiple things. I think he also dropped a song with Eminem. He dropped Worldwide Choppers 2 that year too. Yeah. So I was like, oh man, this shit's gonna slap. Mm-hmm. Yes, I was like, oh, this shit's gonna slap. Mm-hmm. So I remember hearing, and I was a big Logic fan at his house. I remember. Logic got on the verse. Like, Tech spit his verse. Logic got on. And I'm like, this shit's kind of like. Views of joining
that is. Because I also was a big Logic fan. So when I heard about the beef, I was like,
but it made sense because I remember when I heard Logic's verse, I was like, eh, okay, you didn't really snap as hard as I want. And he literally said it in the song. He was like, Tech, I'm sorry for the hold up, but I've been on the road. Should have had this verse to your ass a long time ago. And even the way he opened the verse, when he said something like, everybody wants me to spit it fast, but no, I'm gonna spit it just how I wanna fucking do it. And I was like,
no, not that shit.
Okay. Joyner Lucas literally got on that shit and incinerated it. And then he got on, I think it was, what was the show? Everyday Struggle or some shit like that. And he was talking about it, and he was like, bro, I don't fuck with that nigga Logic, bro. And they were like, why? And he was like, but basically, because you got on a Tech N9ne song, and you're supposed to spit, and we've been waiting on this verse for X amount of time, and you literally just was freestyling, and was literally like, bro, I don't. I'm gonna just rap how I want to rap on this shit.
Wow. Like, and there was another track that Logic was supposed to be on with Tech N9ne, and
I think Joyner Logic wanted a solo artist.
Yeah,
good solo.
Well,
the Bobby Tarantinos were fun.
Well, I think I think that was just a bad time for Logic to try and do features like that. Mm-hmm. Like he was on the Bobby Tarantino mixtape brand. And those were straight freestyles. Like, he wasn't actually sitting and writing. Mm-hmm. He was freestyling on tour and recording that and putting it out. And, like, I like the Bobby Tarantino mixtapes, but they're nowhere near as good as Under Pressure or The Incredible True Story. Because he didn't actually sit and write. And, like, that Tech N9ne track or any Tech N9ne track,
you gotta
sit and write, bro. You can't freestyle it. Like, you gotta sit and write.
When we're done, when we're packing up, I'm gonna play the song for you. When I say, like, I never heard of Joyner Lucas. And then I looked him up after this. I was like, actually, I don't really like this nigga like that. But
I heard of him before that because he had that one song.
Beats like an EBT shop.
I
know the song you're thinking about.
I don't know the name of it, but he had that song.
But like, yeah, Logic, because I used to love Logic, man. Logic, like, the Young Sinatra mixtapes?
Yeah, all the Young Sinatra mixtapes,
and then the fucking Under Pressure is fucking, I think that was a classic.
His Roll Call freestyle over Miss Jackson?
Yes, it's like, crazy. It's crazy. It was Under Pressure. It was Under Pressure, and then he dropped The Incredible True Story, and then he dropped Bobby Tarantino. Yeah. And he dropped everybody, and I was like, eh, this is actually mid, and I don't know, I don't think you really got the point got across that you were trying to... He got a cold feature and a Grammy for the I Don't Wanna Die Today.
Yeah.
I don't wanna die. And after that, but I think after that, he
that
literally... Funny,
bro. I say that song immediately.
Easy. Literally, I feel like after Under Pressure, but no, I think the first Bobby Tarantino was pretty solid. The second one was literally, I think, a 5 out of 10, bro. It's like five. It was like half of the tracks were like, oh no, he's snapping. Like that. Yeah. What was that? That 44 more. But oh, he got some songs on there where he snapped
44 bars. Like that nigga was spit.
He was.
Oh, yeah.
He was
on 44 bars.
Back to back.
No, he did 44 bars and then he did 44
more. Yeah. 44 more. He literally ate that shit. Yes. Right. So the it was like 50% of the tracks.
Indica Badu. I like that one. There was a song with 2 Chainz. I like that song.
That one was straight.
Oh, that one was slow.
He got a few he got like I said, 50% of the tracks on there slap, but the other 50% of them, I was like, this is awful. Remember that one? Tell me how it really feels to be a good person, or whatever the fuck you. I was like,
I don't know.
Yo, what am I listening to right now? He has a. I work hard every day.
Oh yeah,
day.
I work hard every day.
I love that song.
Hell no,
because I just like that part, man. I don't care about any of the verses. I just I work love hard. When I hear I work hard every motherfucking day. Like that shit is hilarious. I was like, bro, this is what Marshmello and shit. Like, yeah, that shit is
I definitely do listen to Logic selectively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same. Yeah.
I'm not even, like, which one had Killing Spree on it?
I did not finish that album.
Oh my god, y'all don't know about Killing Spree.
I also wasn't that huge a fan of Young Sinatra 4. Like after Bobby Tarantino 4, it was
okay. Young Sinatra?
Young Sinatra 4, the album, not the mix.
Oh, no, my bad. You're right. Yeah, no, yeah, that shit was the album. That shit was wet.
I was not a fan of that.
His only, I feel like, literally after...
Under Pressure 2 was absolute fire.
No, yeah, that shit was... no, like, it was No Pressure. Yeah, No Pressure. That shit snapped.
That had big shot.
It's like, it's, yeah, yeah, it had, like, it was...
He was on Under Pressure. Was he on No Pressure? He was on All Right. He was on All Right on Under Pressure.
He was, because, yeah.
Under Pressure also has a Childish Gambino feature.
Yeah.
Driving Miss Daisy.
Bro, the fucking... Like I said, the first two, because I've been listening to some songs off of The Incredible True Story again recently, and I've been like, bruh, I forgot how much this nigga could spit. That's why it hurt me so much when the nigga started tweaking, because I was like, I remember, like, Whoa came up randomly, and I was like, oh yeah, I have to go back to this album. Mm-hmm. Like, the way he's just delivering some of these, but it was like, Whoa, Upgrade has always been one of my favorite songs. Like, the beat on Upgrade is fucking amazing. I am the greatest.
So y'all talking about the one with the space?
The Incredible story.
Yeah.
That was his last super good album until No Pressure.
Even that one, I don't even think it's like, what would I rate that album out of 10? I think I'd rate it like a 6.5, maybe a 7 out of 10. But I still really, but I still really like it. Because I think conceptually, he didn't.
A light to decent 7.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, in between, that's
second
what I'm saying.
Second opinion, third opinion.
Because it's like on the spectrum of things of what he was trying to do, he didn't really complete the picture like that. And then also listening back to some of the albums, I still really like the album. Listening back to some of the songs, and I'm like, and this was right around the time he made that turn into like the kids bop like era of Logic. You can hear it in some of the things that he like talks about, or how he raps about some of the things that he talks about. But I still really appreciate it, bro. Like I said, there are some tracks on that shit that just snap. Upgrade is a fucking 10 out of 10 track. I love that shit. It just makes me so fucking happy. The fucking instrumentation, and it sounds like a rocket taking off, the little things he has in the background.
It's like
all engine running, and they keep repeating that in the background. It literally sounds like somebody's about to take off. That, and true. There's another song on there that uses that Lord Willin, I think.
Yeah.
It has a Super Mario sample in the background. Like, ha, ha, ha. Like,
yeah, right, it's like, it's like they use that for the because the space shit that you're talking to in the background.
That's it. Yo, yeah, because that was
her name.
That wasn't the first concert I went to. Jay-Z Kanye concert was the first concert I went to. I went to the Everybody concert. I wanted to go to the American.
Because
The Incredible
True Story. Joey was there. I really wanted to go. I ended up seeing Joey later on the All American Badass tour. But I really wanted to see Joey on the Incredible True Story tour. And I ended up not being able to go. Shout out to Jasadia, though. We went to the, what's it called? Shout out to Jasadia, and shout out to the dude who works for Live Nation, because Jasadia bought front row tickets, but I got VIP, and it was at Lakewood, and I did not know VIP was behind the front row, because that don't make no fucking sense. But the dude from Live Nation, like, we were sitting in VIP, and then the other person who had the seat next to me came. So Jasadia was like, dang, I don't want to leave, but you need a wristband to get down there. I was like, yo, it's cool. Just, like, don't get attacked, and I'll see you at the end of the show. And she was like, no, like, something. And then so, like, the dude who worked there, I'm going to just say his name is Lance. He looks, like, the mental picture in my face looks like a Lance. He was like, I was like, no, man, like, because I kept talking to him, like, yo, she's just sitting here until the people come. He was like, yeah, no, that's cool. And I work for Live Nation. So I was like, I know what it's like when people try to sneak up. And I was like, we're not doing that. I was in constant communication just to make sure he knew what I was on. And
he was like, yo, why are y'all here then? Like, why don't y'all just go ahead and go up? I was like, because I don't have a wristband. My man went around the corner to the gate, got a wristband, and brought it back so I could go to the front row. And he wouldn't accept a tip, which is Live Nation policy. But shout out to Lance.
Yeah, dude. The Incredible Truth Stories concert was, I don't know. That was the first concert that I went to that literally, I think during that time period, I was like, I was already kind of rapping and making music, but I was like, I think I really want to do this. I went to that concert. I was like, bro, I have to do this. Because that nigga was just having so much fucking fun. And it was just so awe-inspiring, bro. And even the way he had his shit set up was like, you're not jumping and doing flips or no shit like that. But like, the energy went well. And I could tell, I don't know, it's just cool to just see people's influences and how people, like, it's cool seeing people's influences and then making the connection to that's like the influence of the music they were making. For example, like during his concert, he had a lot of screens out there and shits were like so synchronized, but there was a lot of Akira and shit playing in the background. And I was like, bruh, I could tell Akira was on loop while he was making this fucking album. You can hear it in the way it sounds futuristic and electronic, even though they're going space and shit. Like, it was a bunch of, you could just see all the little things, but it was just so cool. He came out in this fucking spaceship outfit or what the fuck ever, and he was jumping around for forever until he fucking walked out and changed, and he came out and had these fucking Jordans on, but they matched the background. It was just cool, bro. So
yeah, a really good show.
Yeah, damn. Yeah, he did. I think when he did everybody, he had Little Yachty or some shit. The niggas was playing like, were them niggas playing Mario Kart on the screen?
Yeah,
or some shit
he
like
had
that?
The one that he did here. He had Yachty, Cudi opened for him.
Wow.
Which I thought was like, wow. I think Cudi was just here. He came out. He was not on the ticket. Like, Yachty was on the ticket, and I was like, I can miss Yachty. But I got there, and Cudi was on, and I was like, huh? Is this the DJ set? I was like, no, he's actually out there, crop top and all. I was like, yes, let's fucking go. He only played like three songs, though.
I mean, but, that's cool. Which ones were they?
He played Day and Night.
Ooh, easy.
What was this, 2015? Like I said, I don't think he had a real set.
Damn.
That was right after Indicut.
Yeah, but he didn't play anything off of Indicut. Oh, which is why I was like, he didn't have a real set. He played like Day and Night. I think he played Up, Up, and Away.
Yeah.
Like, that song just sounds so like it should be with a lot of
Logic. That's what I was about to say.
And then I can't remember the third song he played. Because I got there and I was all the way in the back, so I couldn't record him. Like, I have a folder in my phone of all my concerts, and I just go back and listen to them when I'm feeling down, because, like, I love concerts. Yeah. But, and then I went to a different concert. I went to the, one of the Bobby Tarantino concerts. And he brought, I don't know if it was really Marshmello, but he brought out somebody with like the marshmallow head, and they played Super Smash Bros.
Yeah,
it was like really cool. Logic won. I was like, "That's good." I don't think you should lose
at your own concert.
Like, yeah, I don't think you should lose at your own concert.
But all right, man, are the Lakers going to the finals?
If LeBron is healthy,
yes.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. See, you can never count this nigga out. Yes, that's literally what it is. So this is my argument for why they probably might not make it to the finals, okay?
Oh,
so
let's go.
This is a possibility. You can never count him out, and do not put this
never
on the record.
Never count LeBron out.
Yeah, I'm about to say, do not put this on the record as I'm saying he's not going to make the fucking finals. I don't think they're going to win the finals, even if they do make it, but this is my argument. So they are still recovering from injury. The team
may not fully recover.
They might not fully recover. And we see Anthony Davis playing, seems about approximately back to normal speed. We still have to see what LeBron is like, and we still have to see the chemistry that they have on court together between
Why? You think time off makes something
Andre
happen?
Andre Drummond is somebody new
on
that team.
Yeah, LeBron only played one game with Andre.
Andre Drummond is new on
that
team.
Does not mean
Schroeder,
LeBron hasn't had pulled Drummond to the side on a random day and showed.
But this is. But we're talking about
the
playoffs. We're literally talking.
In the game, you still got to show up in the game.
Yeah. So even Schroeder's not playing right now. When is he set to return?
He's not injured. He's just in the COVID program.
Oh, okay. Who else is out? Is there anybody else that's injured? Okay, so
Caruso went down with a foot injury last night, so we don't know how long that's going to be. But, I mean,
the Caruso.
It's LeBron. Like,
that's what I'm saying. You cannot completely count LeBron out, but he's in another conference this year. And also, this was the other thing.
In this conference last year.
Yeah, but they weren't hit with the same. I don't think he was injured.
They stopped playing for 2 months.
But
rhythm was completely broken as the playoffs start to wrap up.
But but niggas weren't.
And then they had to go and play in a bubble.
But niggas weren't injury prone, and then playing in the bubble is different than injury prone. But not coming off of injury. And then also not LeBron coming off of injury. And I think he himself said this was going to be really hard. And this looks like, once again, this is not me counting them out, but this is also the schedule that they have to go. So they have, and they have to play so many fucking games. They have to play against the Warriors at least once. They got to play against the Warriors.
Maybe. They can still mathematically get to
the sixth seed. Regardless of who they have to play, they got to play somebody at least once. So they got
to,
you got
to do that. Not if they get to the sixth seed.
Who has to lose in order for them to get, how many games are left?
3.
Let me see. Because they're behind the Trailblazers, right?
They're 3 games behind the Trailblazers. Mathematically, they could get to it. Yes, it is highly unlikely.
That's what I mean.
Both the Mavericks and the Trailblazers have to lose out. But the Mavericks and the Trailblazers play each other. Yeah. So that one of those teams is going to lose that game. Mm-hmm. So there is a likely chance that the Lakers can come back and snag the 6 seed.
Who's playing? Who are they playing tonight?
Houston.
They can probably beat Houston without anybody.
Yeah.
But let's just assume. My prediction only stands if they're in the 7th seed, which I believe they're going to be in the 7th seed. I might be wrong. Damn,
so
but I
just count out Steph like that.
What? No, the Warriors, they're going to be in the 8th seed.
The Warriors are more than likely going to be in the 8th seed, which means
they're in the play-in period. So they're in the play-in regardless. Yeah. So the thing is, they're going to have to play against somebody first round, probably the Warriors, if they're in the 7th seed, right? So that's the game. Then after that, we have to play against a really good Phoenix team that has had the time to completely gel together.
They can beat them.
I'm not saying they can't, but it's not going to be easy. They're not just about to walk on the court and just beat these niggas.
Nah, Booker's going to have to be Kobe.
I don't think he has to be Kobe.
Booker doesn't have to be Kobe.
He has to be Booker.
DeAndre Ayton has to figure out a way to guard Anthony Davis and stop Andre Drummond from getting rebounds.
Yeah. So I don't think, that's what I'm saying. I don't think they're gonna have a hard time.
Yikes.
I don't know, because the Phoenix Suns have been looking disgusting.
I've been telling y'all about these Warriors. Niggas don't wanna believe me.
Watch
I've been telling y'all about the Warriors. I've been telling y'all about Andrew Wiggins.
Humble yourself. Okay, I know he has.
I've been telling you about Andrew Wiggins. I've been telling you about
shooting. He said shots to your dog.
It wasn't just that game.
Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
I've been telling y'all about
messing him up.
I've been telling y'all about Andrew Wiggins. Understand, y'all are still looking at number one option, Andrew Wiggins.
When
Klay Thompson comes back, Andrew Wiggins is their fourth best player.
I can see that.
But
they got Wiseman. They have Wiseman.
I've seen him.
He hurt.
Better than Wiseman.
And he
I've seen no, this no, man under pressure a lot, and I think he really works well under pressure.
He has so
Wiggins. Yes,
Wiggins has rose to the occasion this season for the Warriors on more cases than not. He has been their best perimeter defender on more cases than not. You bring Klay Thompson back slowly, because now he doesn't have to guard the best perimeter defender because you have Wiggins out
spot
there.
Spot up shooter.
He's a slasher.
Mm-hmm.
He has learned how to play with Steph.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. Watch out. But in regards to the Lakers and the Phoenix Suns, the Warriors, shout out to them damn Warriors, man. I'm a Warriors fan. I'm a Steph Curry fan. The Warriors beat the Jazz and the Suns back-to-back on back-to-back nights. It's really impressive, to be honest with you, even though the Jazz were missing Conley and
Donovan
Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
Props.
Mm-hmm.
The battle for the one seed is as much about having to face LeBron or Steph in a 7-game series, or Dame. Like, the Trailblazers still can make, I mean, they're
they
six.
Can still fall.
They can still drop and be one of those 7 or 8 seeds. I don't think you worry as much about a Memphis or a San Antonio to really bother you, but that's your prize for the one and second seed. Mm-hmm. And
that is crazy in the West.
Having the size that the Lakers have in the West, both of those teams, that's the top two teams, only have one real big guy to throw at them. The Lakers have Marc Gasol, Andre Drummond, and AD with Harrell as their size interior. And the Jazz have Favors and Gobert, but then they play small. And then the Suns have Ayton, and then they play small around him. And then, like, Frank the Tank, Kaminsky. But I mean, if you believe in him, that's on you. All right, look,
look, look. So, I think the way, let's say the Lakers beat the motherfucking Phoenix Suns tonight, right? No, in the series. Yeah. They beat Phoenix Suns. I don't think they're going to do it in five games. I think they'll do it in six. I don't think.
That's fine.
After that, they got to play the LA Clippers. It is. But I'm saying, the more games give you more time to play with each other. Yeah, but it's also putting more wear and tear on people who have, like, even, I think we said it recently, LeBron James coming off of his injury, the injury can span anywhere between, like, a couple of weeks and, like, a while, like 2 months or something like that, and he has to play. He has to play because we all agree that if LeBron doesn't play, then
it's over.
So you got to go against Phoenix, and after that, you got to go against the Clippers or Dallas. More than likely, the Clippers, because the Clippers have been.
Clippers and Dallas, most likely, if they're in the sixth seed.
Clippers are
Dallas and Nuggets. That's what
I do want to see Dallas and Nuggets, but they're probably going to go against.
That could be a first round matchup.
Yeah, it could. The Clippers are probably gonna play Dallas if that's how this set up. So you're gonna go against the Clippers if you beat the Suns.
Dallas is six right now. Okay, yeah. They're a game and a half right now up above the Lakers.
Mm-hmm. So they gotta lose this game. The Lakers have to win this game. The Trailblazers have the tiebreaker over the Lakers and the Mavericks.
Mm-hmm. The Mavericks have the tiebreaker over the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
With three games left and them only if Dallas loses two and the Lakers win out, Dallas is now in that seventh seed.
But the Lakers have to win two, Dallas has to lose two?
Lakers, I believe, have to win out.
What do you mean?
They have to win the remaining games.
Oh, I don't know if they're going to win the remaining games. Who are they playing against? They might, though. I don't know who they're playing against. But look, if it's the way it's set up right now, Lakers got to play Phoenix, then they got to play the Clippers, and then they're going to have to play. I think the Jazz is beating out all these teams on the other side. And they're going to have to play the Jazz in the Western Conference Finals. That's a lot. I don't know, given like...
The Lakers play the Pacers, the Hornets, the Rockets, the Pacers, and the Pelicans. The Rockets, they can the very much win out.
And they have to win out the Mavericks have to lose too?
Yeah.
So they and have to lose
the Mavericks
tonight.
Have again?
The Mavericks play the Blazers one more time.
I can look at it right now.
Oh no! The Mavericks play they're playing the Pelicans now. They're gonna win that game. They play the Raptors and then the Timberwolves. I thought they played the Blazers last game.
Oh no! Timberwolves
are. I mean,
they're beating the Timberwolves and they're beating the Timberwolves. Probably in the Raptors. They're up. They just have to win this game and another game. They're up 20 points right now in the second quarter. So
obviously the Timberwolves. Just a mention on them.
Mm-hmm.
If Anthony, Russell, and Kat can mesh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're dangerous. Mm-hmm. I think they're dangerous. They just need better coaching and they need more help.
I want to see Carl Anthony Towns on another team. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, it's over.
I think he needs to go somewhere else. Like I don't want to see Carl Anthony Towns in the shackles of the Timberwolves anymore because I don't think they're not gonna. Come on, man.
It's over.
Put Carl Anthony Towns somewhere else, man. Let's see him on Trailblazers or something like that, man. Let's see him.
Carl Anthony Towns lost six family members to COVID. I'm not gonna say anything about him.
I'm not saying that from a perspective of him playing bad in the city he's in. I'm talking about literally his position with the Timberwolves and like the Timberwolves themselves. I don't see them really doing
anything
anytime soon. And I would like to see Carl Anthony Towns somewhere where he can really do something.
So that Anthony Edwards is the future of the Timberwolves.
Anthony Edwards was the future of the Timberwolves anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, shit, you're doing anything else. Like, Carl Anthony Towns, I would literally
get a future of the NBA. Y'all just watch out.
Yeah. I would literally.
He's got the personality.
Imagine, who's the center for the Nets?
Him and LaMelo.
For the Knicks, I'm sorry.
Noel, right?
He broke his arm or something like that.
Imagine that nigga.
Mitchell Robinson.
Imagine Mitchell Robinson. Imagine Carl Anthony Towns on, like, the Knicks or some shit like that. That'd be amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what I'm saying. That'd be amazing.
That is
there are several teams he can go to where he'd be like,
I don't know how
he'd make bring him to New York.
I don't know how he got along with Tibbs.
I just mean generally imagine him somewhere else where I feel like he's a player that can really make a difference on a team. Because he's still called Anthony Towns, but I mean like on a team that just
don't get his.
He's a great shooter,
But I just mean like something that's gonna push that team over the ledge. We were talking about a team not too long ago. I felt like I was talking about a team that I felt like is like right there, but they don't have enough to like really push themselves to that point. I feel like it's a team somewhere in here though. But yeah, him on the I know that's just like a random throw out, but him on the fucking New York Knicks would be absolutely positively disgusting. Or the Chicago Bulls. Maybe.
They got Bulls if they don't need them.
No. But they're not. He's probably calling these times. Well,
he's the East. He's a great four, but this never hurts to have a cat that's five.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's the East.
Who's a great four?
No, he's five. He's five.
Yeah, they're both sometimes seven feet. Like, you're not putting either of them at the floor. You'll get played off the court. They ain't guarding shit.
If you have one of them, that's what I mean. I like I said, I just want to see him somewhere else where he's making a difference. Because right now they are where 13th. They've won 22 games this season. They are literally nowhere near. Like, they're They're 28 games behind. That's a lot. But they're like 9 games behind the next team, which is like crazy to think about, considering the team right behind them is what, the Thunder, and the Thunder don't really have like the Thunder are only like half a game and a half behind them, and that's not like for the Thunder to not have like their best players were Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
damn, what happened to you?
I think he broke his wrist.
I didn't even keep up with them, so
there was no reason to watch the Thunder.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I just want to see that make
us just
wasn't.
Imagine if that Nick. Well, you have Clint Capella in Atlanta. You're gonna lose defense if you get Capella any time here. I mean, you'll spread the floor, but you need to
defense. Atlanta doesn't need any more offense.
Yeah.
Well, Atlanta does need more offense, but not at the expense of the defense we already.
Yes.
Which isn't.
Yeah.
Granted, we are missing Hunter and Reddish.
What do you mean, Hunter? Did he get hurt again?
Well, no, but he's nursing an Achilles. Like, they're not going to play him. Mm-hmm. He hasn't played most of the season. Like, we've been missing him over the course of the season.
Well, we're going to need him for defense in the playoffs, so.
Right, that's why he didn't play today.
I'm actually very excited. I'm very excited to see these fucking playoff games. Wait, what does the PI means playing? Oh, yeah. So they're certified for the playing? Is that what they're
doing? Yeah, they went to playing.
P.
Oh.
Why?
I love the playing.
I just, love I don't know. I like, we're here
it's
now.
It's just extra, and we need that for basketball.
Basketball needs the ratings, bro. They need you to be excited. Jalen Rose said it perfectly. You don't hear anything about load management because 3, 4, and 5, I mean, like right now, well, in the West, yeah, the Mavericks and the Blazers can flip to 7. Like,
yes, amazing.
And right now, the Heat. The Knicks and the Celtics are fighting between getting 6th and 7th
out of the play-in tournament.
So it's like, yeah, you don't want to be in the play-in tournament because then you got to prove yourself again. And I think that's great. I think it's great for the league. They should definitely keep it. Although
prayers are for Jaylen Brown.
Yeah. That sucks. Although next season should not be 82 games. It should not be 82 games, and then you got to win one or two more to make the playoffs.
Like, yeah, I don't think it should be 82 games.
Like, it should definitely go back down.
The way injuries are.
What's it called? Yeah.
I think it's just like
64. Flies,
bro. It should not be 82 games.
I like 72.
72 ain't bad.
I like 72 spread out, but like, remember, the 72 not. This year started it Christmas. Mm-hmm. The season starts in November. Mm-hmm. So you
they
give
ran
them,
through this shit, man.
Right, like you give them an extra month to play 72 games. You cut back on the 4 games and 5 nights with cutbacks on injuries. You cut back on
the normally playoffs has already started.
Yeah, we're normally kicking into the second round.
We're only like almost halfway through playoffs this time. I forgot. Man, it's crazy.
And they'll get
a
full offseason this year. Was it? Finals end in June.
This shit really spans back to 2019, I guess, technically. Because the 2019 season was going cool, and then COVID happened, pushed everything back. Man, that's really
the closer to football season, the better.
The bubble was one of the craziest.
That's how I see it.
The bubble was literally revolutionary. That was one of the greatest things I've ever experienced in my life. Bubble basketball.
I did like bubble basketball.
Was great.
It was different. I mean, it was hard to get used to at first. But then, the Warriors literally in the bubble would have been crazy. Because I was like... At first, it was weird to get used to, but I think
that would have been fun to be like just because you could hear all the trash.
Oh, yeah, you could. Like, that was like, the dopest thing about the bubble. You could hear everything, bro.
Like just Draymond would have been fine.
Yeah. And then it was a relief just to get sports back.
Yeah.
Like, I remember that time period. We'll be talking about this when, like, sports went off and niggas were just scratching their necks for some
competitive shit. Yeah,
like,
nothing to do, bro.
Opened up Twitter, niggas was playing cricket or some shit like that. I was like, oh, man,
I
might get into this
shit. Watch anything competitive.
I was like, I don't even know the rules of this shit.
Like, bro, it was like competitive slapping. Like, knock that nigga out, bro. Like, I'll watch anything.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was a job. Bubble basketball came back. I was watching the preseason games. Like, they were cracked, man. I was like, oh, my God, yes. Bowl, oh, yes, please. Yes.
Bowl.
The bobonic plague.
The point. Put them at the point, you cowards. man. Give me Boban minutes.
Yes.
Bro. Like, literally anybody.
All right, man. A couple more topics to touch on.
Cyber attack.
In the
crackers, we've been hacked.
The fuck out. We've been hacked.
Somebody hacked into the mainframe.
The Russians.
We can no longer distribute.
No, honestly, the Russians came and created a cyber attack into one of the main points into the fuel line. The colonial pipeline, as they put it. And
ransomware.
Basically, that mediates all the fuel that goes through southeast.
It goes from like Texas all the way up to like Jersey or something like that. Yeah, 1,600 square miles.
Up and down southeastern USA, mm-hmm. And basically it just, mm-hmm. people didn't have gas.
It was a big deal.
Gas outages,
but it wasn't as big of a deal as it has become at the time of recording this. Probably by the time we put this episode out and y'all actually listen to it, you know, it'll be over.
It'll just be very ironic.
You'll just hear about people with gas leaks and shit, and cars just smell like gas because I don't know. People were like, "Oh, hey, let me go get some plastic thin bags and fill it with gas and put it in my trunk."
I don't understand the process.
Like, I guess it won't get you.
Like,
bro, this is Atlanta. You hit one pothole and your whole shit is on fire.
Like,
remember how rush hour started? Yeah. And Clyde was trying to get away, and he had the C4 in the trunk, and Carter shot him, and it blew up. It's gonna happen.
Yeah. Cause it's like, I don't know. Natural selection is fucking weird how it fucking works, bro. It'd be like, people be doing the craziest, dumbest shit, and it'd be like, should I stop them or do I just let them land? I mean, you would think, generally, why would you, if you're not in immediate danger,
you let it go.
Have you ever gotten something to eat, like, and they put it in a bag, and then you walk around and the juices start spilling in the bag? Like, what's the probability that it's going to get everywhere? It's very, very likely. So the fact that you would put gasoline in a paper, in a plastic bag, is one of the most insane things I've ever heard of.
Like, you don't even have to understand the chemistry of it eroding. Like, you just, step one should be,
oh, drip?
This isn't a good idea. This could spill.
Yeah.
And the moment it hits your clothes, it's just like,
that's fuck. It, bro.
I wouldn't be able to drive home and then my, like, body smells like gasoline. Like, story, I don't know if ever...
It's gonna smell like that. Dude, I've told Ron this before. I used to work at the airport. When I was working at the airport, I used to put fuel in planes. When the last day I worked at the fucking airport, I got sprayed with gasoline. Bro,
they probably would have sent your ass home. Like, up, gas shortage. No, yeah. can't come to work.
I was actually, literally, made you pay for it. I was literally like
dazed.
I was in shock. I was in shock for like hours, and not even hours. Because I was in shock for maybe like 40 minutes. I didn't really know what to do because it was in my eyes. It was literally like in all the orifices in my face. And I was like, what the fuck? And I remember at one point they tried to get me to sit down and like talk to somebody. They tried to get me to sit down and talk to HR or some shit about what happened. I was literally like, I'm going home. And they were like, no, we need you. I was like, what? Bro, I smell like gasoline. I'm going home and changing clothes. Sir,
that's
we need you.
That's literally an at-work like accident. They literally need to send you home immediately. Like, you know, when you jump into the water
sometimes and like if your mouth is open, it just like...
Everything is kind of like...
All I could smell is gasoline. My face was breaking down and my eyes were burning.
My God.
And then
God.
It was in my clothes, so the shit was just...
And they tried to make you fucking work.
They didn't try to make me... No, they didn't try to make me work. They tried to... They wanted me to sit there and talk about my experience and write down the shit that happened. I was like, I smell like gasoline. I'm going home. Sir, we need you. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I went back and forth with them. They were like, okay, if we let you go home, will you go? They were like, we'll let you leave, but will you go here first and then go home? I was like, yeah, I'll do that. I left and never came back. I was like, yeah, I'll do that. Left, got on the train, came back here, never went back. I literally took the... And I remember, while we're talking about gas, I remember taking my clothes off and putting them in a trash bag and putting it in a corner for a second. Came back, like... And niggas were like, bro, everything smells like gasoline. And I was like, bro. Wow. Yeah, because trash bags don't really do shit against fucking gasoline. It erodes that shit.
For 2 days. Niggas weren't even using Glad bags. Like, they didn't have
If I ever saw
a nigga walking somewhere with a Glad bag full of gasoline, I'd be like, yo.
Oh my, get away from me.
I know.
like, bro.
But then you got these people with these giant containers.
Yeah, you have the giant back containers of their full of
people
trucks.
Like 55 gallons.
Holy shit, man.
People had the little shit that, if you've ever seen the travel wash, the thing that they keep the water in, they were filling it in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was crazy. And the crazy thing is, it's like, it was maybe like 4% of Georgia gas stations had mm-hmm. outages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like just
then thinking, it got up to like 60% of the metro area today.
Yeah.
They didn't have gas.
And just thinking about it, it's just like literally if we just did nothing.
they literally said do not buy gas in bulk.
Everybody need a magic conch shell
this weekend. Yes, like, oh, damn. Like that's legitimately what they needed.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I know we can come back to this. I was just talking about Mike Jones. Oladipo's going having surgery.
He's having surgery. Quiet. Oh, first quiet. Yeah. I saw that
season
earlier.
Ending. Oh man, get better, Vic.
It's like three games.
It's so easy.
That also, was like fuck the government. Right. Also, because they let these. Prices surge, these gas prices surge. And you know what they tried to do? They tried to make it tax-free.
Gas is getting real close to $3 again, Joseph. I need you to do something about that. All right? You need to relax. Bring those prices down. All right? I got a Corolla, but still bring those prices down. It cost me almost $30 to fill up my tank. I did not like that. All right? 22 is my wheelhouse. Let's bring the prices down. All right? Even with the Kroger 3 cents. It was still almost $30. Let's bring the prices down. They're too high. Oh, we should have added that sound. It's too damn high.
It's too damn high.
Oh, man, that one. Also, why the fuck can't y'all ever hack, like, the student loans and shit? Why do y'all hack
shit that nobody needs,
bro? Well,
you know, like, the security's going to prevent something like that, of all things. They got extra security.
They need the money.
Yes, they want to take money from...
Money.
Like, hack the student...
That still works.
Hack Sally Mae. Like, hack Sally Mae. Hack fucking, who's mine? Greater Lakes. Them niggas. Like, why are y'all attacking us? Mm-hmm. We didn't do nothing to y'all. Like, literally. Like, attack these student loan people. Hey. Like, I mean, like, Great Lakes knows they're not getting shit from me, but at least make my balance zero. Like, come on, man.
It's different. People in panic are really, really, really.
They are.
Niggas bought up toilet paper for a respiratory disease.
So you know they'll do anything.
Anything.
To continue their state.
Ignorance kills.
Yeah.
Selfishness natural is selection. The biggest plague in
easy.
America.
Mm-hmm. My God.
Niggas want, well, niggas don't really need it. Niggas really want money. All right, I mean, last topic. I don't even.
Oh, Gal Gadot.
Oh, yeah, dude, Gal Gadot. So I was really confused.
You announced
so, Free Palestine.
Free Palestine.
Yeah.
Free Palestine.
If you don't know about what's going on, I'm not super, super versed with everything that's going on over there. But basically, based on my understanding of things, it's genocide and what is it? Ethnic cleansing.
Ethnic cleansing.
Israel basically invading Palestine. Yeah. And then with over years.
Very territorial.
With government funding from the United States.
Yes, because I think it was a couple of days ago I saw something. I didn't know what it was relating to, but I did see something about the United States constantly over the years giving sending money to Israel, which is basically and they're basically using
Israel
that money to
there's the land that is Israel, and then inside of that there's a land that belongs to Jerusalem, and there's a debate, if you will, on who the whole
occupied
of
the
land
first,
who occupied it first and who it all belongs to.
Yeah.
And basically Israel is the aggressors in trying to remove all of Palestine's land where it's only Israel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a one-sided event.
Mm-hmm.
So all the articles that are talking about Palestine fighting back, it's one-sided.
It's just typical propaganda.
It's typical propaganda. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't be like, oh, the kids are fighting back. Like, bro, they're bombing their government building, their religious temples,
and people are watching
kids and children. It's just like out in the street,
watch parties.
It's
fucking evil,
sick, and it is completely backed by the United States, as most genocide and colonization is backed.
Make sure you guys know that.
Yeah, so it's like
important.
Because I remember even
an important anecdote.
I remember seeing people basically tear apart Gal Gadot earlier today, and I was like, why? I remember her message, and it's like that concept of like there are people in America that are like. There are people, remember when cops were killing people? Well, not even. Remember last year. Remember during that time period year when cops were killing people? And it was a whole thing everywhere. And you had people that were like, we're praying for the cops and for the people out there that are getting, you know, protesting, and like there are good cops out there. It was that same concept of like, bro, no, there's not like there's not two sides to the issue. There are literally oppressors and people getting oppressed. Like, so, like there's not there's not a two side moral to this. And I think Gallagher got put up something that was like praying for the people on both sides. And,
yeah, something like that. She's Israeli, Israeli though.
Yeah, and that's basically what people were saying. Like you're being like you're basically being a sympathizer. And nobody likes a sympathizer because we should both sides should put down their arms and I'm praying.
For people. Like
I'm
praying for Israel. Is like kind of different.
Yeah, like, she's technically an Israel.
Yeah, like I feel not that I'm showing really any sympathy for like her or what's going on because she's rich. And if you want to get on me for believing that rich people don't have problems, I don't fucking care.
I don't care about rich people's problems.
But like she is Israeli, so it's kind of like I don't know what her knowledge of what goes on there is.
Mm-hmm. Of course, like she has family, right, and friends. Family, so there's that. But
just looking at them and how they're backed by the United States, and then doing this, I could legitimately believe that she believes that Israel is in the right.
Mm-hmm.
And they're. Not methods or tactics, but in, you know, the right of saying like, oh, this is ours. And, mm-hmm. you know, I could legitimately believe that she believes that. And she's like, oh yeah, I'm praying for both sides because mm-hmm. you don't want to see genocide. It's just the, like you said, with the cops there, it's an oppressed people and an oppressor. Mm-hmm. So there is no both sides. Mm-hmm. It's an evil action going on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get around that by being like, I'm praying for both sides. Thoughts and prayers isn't going to stop them from dropping missiles and shit.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm about to say, granted, generally any type of Instagram post isn't, but you want to at least be like, yo, if you, especially if you're in a position of like, people like following you, looking at you like that. You have spread proper information. Hey, yo, this is what the fuck is going on, and it's fucked up, and Israeli niggas need to stop.
They're pulling people out their houses, like you know, it's crazy. Wrote
a bunch of weird shit. Fuck Andrew Yang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't even know who that is.
He was the a presidential candidate in the last election, but he's mm-hmm. now the Democratic mayoral candidate in New York. Mm-hmm. But he sided with Israel. And then got backed by a bunch of mm-hmm. super right GOP mm-hmm. pundits like Ted Cruz and Meghan McCain, I think, and mm-hmm. like some other people. And it's just like, just general practice. If, you know, Ted Cruz backs you, mm-hmm. you probably said something stupid or mm-hmm. racist or sexist. Because mm-hmm. Ted Cruz has smoke for everybody but Donald Trump, who talked about his wife. So, if you don't want to hear from Ted Cruz, talk about his ugly-ass fucking wife.
Mm-hmm.
Or him going to Cancun. Or the fact that his daughters don't like him.
Oh, man. Imagine your own kids now.
Or the fact that he looks like a elf. Fuck Ted
Cruz.
Shout out to Muhammad El-Kurd. He was on CNN from... Jerusalem, mm-hmm. and he was talking about his experience, and just how like he was like they were just basically like having or getting his family like pulled from their house and like just relocation because of the situation and because of just everything that's going on, and I would recommend watching his interview on CNN because it's very powerful. Yes, and just the way he. Just the way the interviewer asks questions and he rephrases the question in a mm-hmm. sense where it's just like, okay, I see what you're trying to do, but mm-hmm.
he does a really good job in that interview of combating yellow journalism.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Being like they'll ask a question and the way he answers the question is with another question mm-hmm. of like basically like.
I think they said, how do you feel, or something about along the lines of how does he feel about like his eviction? Mm-hmm. And then he was like, eviction would indicate or imply the sense of that there's a landlord, mm-hmm. or you know, just the way how he was just combating that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. People are literally like really, it'd be so killer understanding the concept. Like you said, yellow journalism, just understanding the concept that like,
these niggas really don't care. And I guess if you, how we talk about it's a simulation, it's understanding, like, I don't know, if you see it as like a simulated experience, you're looking at like a computer asking you questions to try to incriminate you in a certain way to get a certain like standpoint, like, I don't know, it's just interesting, man. You gotta be, you, it's literally certain jobs take a certain type of individual. Like, this is very interesting, but it's very cool understanding there are people who just understand that concept and how to rework, not per se rework the system, but mm-hmm. how to battle it properly instead of just, like you said, answering questions.
Especially with poise.
Literally just see it on his face, like, bro, like, he's just tired. Like, this shit is, like, right, this shit like, is literally... like, it's literally that. Yeah. And it's just, yeah. It's crazy.
So,
free Palestine.
Free Palestine, man. It's been a beautiful stream. We love y'all. Like every week, we thank y'all for tuning in, tapping in, keeping up with the boys, man. Boys, a great show.
Well, I got one more shout out. I got a shout out to Mr. Is this the green one? This is great. Mr. James Rudolph. James Rudolph was on a team that just recently got a law, like, done, or...
Passed.
Not passed, but
like introduced.
Revoked, because back in 1863, Georgia citizens, there was like a law that empowered whites. Yes, they finally got rid of it.
Yeah, they did.
Governor Kemp signed it this past.
Today. He signed it either today or yesterday, I think.
Yesterday. So James Rudolph from Riverdale High School, who I had the honor of being next to, he was on that team. So James Rudolph, you're the shit.
Shout outs. We love black excellence around here.
Yes,
alright, we love y'all. Toby, the speech.
I still fucking hate Instagram. Twitter is the best place to find us. Twitter.com/TheSharkStream. Instagram.com/TheSharkStream. Facebook.com/TheSharkStream. You know we're on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, Anchor.
33.
Amazon.
We got our wings now.
Free Palestine. Stop Asian Hate. Black Lives Matter. Yes, fuck Garrett Wolf.
Yes, sir.
Fuck Ted Cruz.
Yes, sir.
Arrest the cops that killed Breonna Taylor.
Yes, sir.
The niggas that killed Ahmaud Arbery are not guilty.
Yes, sir.
I have steam. Fuck Ted Cruz.
Again.
Infinite. We love y'all, man.
Fuck Ted Cruz as a staff, record label, and a crew.
Yes, there we go, man.
That shit petty money.
All that shit.
Let's go, Jay
Cole.
Let's go, Isaiah.
Oh, yes, bro. Thank you, Zaywop. Thank you.
Let's go, Nudie.
Let's go.
Shit.
Let's go. East Atlanta.
Oh, yes.